ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयो मुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया। भागवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिके। ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः। मुखं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घायते गिरिम्। यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारिणं वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गुरु भक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। So we're continuing our study of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto. This is the first chapter, verse number 8. And this chapter is entitled, The Supreme Lord is Equal to Everyone. Sukadeva Goswami here is replying to a question by Parikshit Maharaj, because Parikshit Maharaj sees that Krishna is killing the demons, he's favoring his devotees, and he gives so many examples. How can we say that Krishna is impartial? It appears that Krishna is completely partial. So now, to answer that question and to establish that Krishna is equal to everyone, this chapter, Sukadeva Goswami is speaking and explaining to Maharaj Parikshit. And we can also be in the position of Maharaj Parikshit. We can also hear this explanation from Sukadeva Goswami. So, since 5,000 years, Vaishnavas have been listening to this response, this reply from Sukadeva Goswami. So please listen very carefully. Jayakale tu sattvasya devarshin rajaso suran tamaso yaksharakshamsi tatkalanugunu bhajat. Rajakale tu sattvasya devarshin rajaso suran tamaso yaksharakshamsi katalanugunu bhajat. Jaya Kale Tu Satvasya. Deva Shinrajaso Suran. Tamaso Yaksharakshamsi. Tatkalanu Guno Bhajat. Jayakale. In the time of prominence. To indeed. Satvasya. Of goodness. Deva. The demigods. Rishin. And the sages. Rajasa. Of passion. Asuran. The demons. Tamasa. Of ignorance. Yaksharakshamsi. The yakshas and rakshasas. Tatkala anuguna. According to the particular time. Abhajat. Fostered. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When the quality of goodness is prominent, the sages and demigods flourish with the help of that quality, with which they are infused and surcharged by the Supreme Lord. Similarly, when the mode of passion is prominent, the demons flourish. And when ignorance is prominent, the yakshas and rakshasas flourish. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is present in everyone's heart, fostering the reactions of sattva-gun, rajagun, and tamagun. So in this particular shloka, Sukhdev Goswami is referencing the three gunas. Earlier, he spoke that the three gunas are material. And he also spoke that Sri Krishna is completely spiritual. Therefore, the gunas cannot affect him or touch him. So he's always equal to everyone, but he fulfills the desires of those persons who are influenced by the modes of either goodness, passion, or ignorance. Therefore, when the mode of goodness flourishes, then the rishis and the demigods, they flourish by the mercy of Krishna. And when in the world tamagun is, or I should say rajagun is prominent, then Krishna, although it's against what he really wants, but he allows the demons to flourish. And when ignorance becomes prominent, the yakshas and rakshasas flourish, and he allows that to happen also because he fulfills the desires of everyone. And in this way, he's impartial. It's not that he's only fulfilling the desires of the devotees, he's also fulfilling the desires of the demons and the rakshasas. So that's the essence of the shloka. Now, Srila Prabhupada in his purport is going to take it to the next level. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is not partial to anyone. The conditioned soul is under the influence of the various modes of material nature, and behind material nature is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But one's victory and loss under the influence of sattva-guna, rajaguna, and tamaguna are reactions of these modes, not of the Supreme Lord's partiality. Srila Jiva Goswami in the Bhagavad Sandharma has clearly said, sattva-dayo na santiṣe yatracha prakṛta guna sa śuddha sarva śuddhe bhya puman adya prasidatu ladini sandini samvit tvaya eka sarva samstito lada tapa kori mishra tvaino guna varjite. According to this statement, of the Bhagavata Sandharma, the Supreme Lord, being always transcendental to the material qualities, is never affected by the influence of these qualities. This same characteristic is also present in the living being. But because he is conditioned by material nature, even the pleasure potency of the Lord is manifested in the conditioned soul as troublesome. In the material world, the pleasure enjoyed by the conditioned soul is followed by many painful conditions. For instance, we have seen that in the two great wars, which were conducted by the Rajaguna and Tamaguna, both parties were actually ruined. The German people declared war against the English to ruin them, but the result was that both parties were ruined. Although the Allies were apparently victorious, at least on paper, actually neither of them were victorious. Therefore, it should be concluded that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not partial to anyone. Everyone works under the influence of various modes of material nature, and when the various modes are prominent, the demigods or demons appear victorious under the influence of these modes. Everyone enjoys the fruits of his qualitative activities. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 14, shlokas 11 through 13. Sarvadvareshu deheismin prakash upajayate jnanam yada tada vidyat vivriddham sattvam nityuta lobha pravritir arambha karmanam ashramas priha rajas etani jayante vivriddhe bharatashabha aprakasho pravittischa pramado moha evacha tamasyetani jayante vivriddhe kurunandana. Quote, the manifestations of the modes of goodness can be experienced when all the gates of the body are illuminated by knowledge. O chief of the Bharats, when there is an increase in the mode of passion, the symptoms of great attachment, uncontrollable desire, hankering, and intense endeavor develop. O son of Kuru, when there is an increase in the mode of ignorance, madness, illusion, inertia, and darkness are manifested. End quote. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present in everyone's heart, simply gives the results of the increase in the various qualities, but he is impartial. He supervises victory and loss, but he does not take part in them. The various modes of material nature do not work all at once. The interactions of these modes are exactly like seasonal changes. Sometimes there is an increment of Rajagun, sometimes of Tamagun, and sometimes Sattvagun. Generally, the demigods are surcharged with Sattvaguna, and therefore, when the demons and the demigods fight, the demigods are victorious because of the prominence of their sattva-guna qualities. However, this is not the partiality of the Supreme Lord. So in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, verse number 15, Krishna says, Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto, that I am seated in everyone's heart, matas mrityur jnanam apohanam cha, and from within the heart, comes knowledge, comes remembrance, and also comes forgetfulness. So, when does Krishna empower us with knowledge, with remembrance, and when with forgetfulness. It depends on our desire. For example, if we desire to enjoy sense gratification, that means enjoying the material elements with these material senses, then he has to cover us with his apohan shakti, the forgetful potency. We forget that we're spirit soul. We forget that we're the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so that we can enjoy so-called enjoyment of this material energy. So that's based on our desire, and our desire is based on the modes of nature, the gunas that we associate with. So how do we associate? We associate in different ways. We associate by hearing. We associate by being in the presence of other persons. And we also associate by the mind. So if our mind starts associating with tamaguna, then our desires become to enjoy the material energy, and then Krishna will fulfill that desire. It's not Krishna's plan to make his Vaishnav devotees forget him. His plan is not to cover the devotees with his apohan shakti. He wants to give gyan. He wants to give smriti. He wants to give knowledge of the absolute truth. He wants us to remember that we're spirit soul. But what he wants and what we want are two different tattvas. So Krishna gives prominence to what we want, even though he would rather that we become pure devotees. If we want to be in Maya, then okay, you can be in Maya. He gives prominence to our desire, which comes from the gunas that we associate with. So if we understand this, we can understand that Krishna is not partial. He's completely impartial, and he's the benefactor of every living entity. So when the demons desire to conquer and control and destroy, he gives them that facility, even though that's not what he wants. Now there's another shloka in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, verse 10. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. Tesham, anybody, satata yuktanam, anybody who's constantly engaged, bhajatam, in worship, priti purvakam, with complete love. Dadami buddhi yogam tam, I give that pure intelligence of bhakti yoga, yena mam upayanti te, so that they will come to me. Krishna in this shloka is revealing his desire, yena mam upayanti te, so they can come to me. Krishna wants us to come to him. In practically every shloka of the Gita, he is reinforcing his desire, but he allows our desire to be more prominent. So, tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam, when we are constantly engaged in worshipping him with love, it means that we're even beyond the sattva guna, we're at the shuddha sattva. Therefore, because we're associating with shuddha sattva energy, which is aprakrita energy, spiritual energy, therefore Krishna now is going to benedict us with the buddhi yoga, the intelligence, matasmritir jnanam, that highest intelligence of buddhi, and with smriti, to remember that I'm spirit soul. What does it mean to remember that I'm spirit soul? Just like we all say, Prabhu, you're not that body. When we go out and preach, we say, you are spirit soul, you're not that body. But what does it mean? How does that manifest in practical, moment-to-moment, daily life? What it means is this. Number one, das, 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 anudas, that I am the servant of the servant of the servant of everybody else. When I'm in that mood, then I'm in my constitutional position as pure spirit soul. When I'm not in my constitutional position as pure spirit soul, then I make value judgments. I don't see myself as the servant of the servant of the servant of everybody else, but I see myself as a servant of some people, but not others. I glorify some people, but not others. I like some people and speak nicely about them, and I don't like other people and I find fault with them. This is called the bodily concept of life. Dehatma Buddhi, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. That I have the mentality that I'm the body, therefore I'm making distinctions. He's male, she's female. I judge them in different ways. He's American, he's Indian. I judge them in different ways. He's Chinese, she's African. I judge them in different ways. Prabhupada didn't judge us like that because he was situated as pure spirit soul. So if I say, for example, that I'm the follower of Srila Prabhupada, that I'm the representative of Srila Prabhupada, it means I have to have the same vision as Srila Prabhupada. It means I have to have the same opinion as Srila Prabhupada. It means I should be seeing everybody the way Prabhupada saw everybody, as pure spirit soul, and not as the body. So this is the first instruction of Krishna. The second instruction of Krishna, and we're talking about the ABCs of spiritual life here. The second instruction of Krishna is that everyone is acting according to their karma. Their prarabdha karma means the karma that they were born with due to actions in previous lifetimes. So this karma is due to actions in previous lifetimes. What about the actions in this lifetime? The pure devotee who's situated as spirit soul, he sees everyone according to their actions in this lifetime. So amongst our devotees in the international society, we should see that everyone is trying to serve the Lord. And we should be magnanimous and give them every benefit of the doubt. Just like Lord Chaitanya, for example, is described as the most magnanimous, the most munificent incarnation. He gives everyone the benefit of the doubt. He even says in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, if a person chants the holy name, Krishna, once in his entire lifetime, I offer my dandavat pranams to that person. That's Lord Chaitanya's opinion. What's our opinion? Do we have that same mentality as Lord Chaitanya? Do we offer our dandavat pranams to a person who has once said the holy name in his entire life? So I cannot say I'm a follower of Lord Chaitanya or a representative of Lord Chaitanya if I have a different opinion, if I have a different vision, if I have a different outlook, if I have a different attitude, if I have a different behavior. Does everybody agree with this point? So what we're talking about now is called the science of self-realization. The science of self-realization means I have to look at myself and try to realize what is my situation. Am I making advancement in spiritual life and becoming a bhakta, or am I not making advancement and I'm becoming a hamster? What is a hamster? Well, we've all seen that animal in the pet shop. He's in a little cage and there's a wheel and he's walking on the wheel. The wheel's going round and round and he's working so hard, so much energy, but he's going nowhere. He's staying in the same place. And what do we call that wheel? Samsara dava nalalita loka. It burns like fire. So if we're in this International Society for Krishna Consciousness and we're not making any advancement, if we're still on the bodily concept of life, even after hearing so many instructions on this matter, if we're still inattentive to the teachings, to the instructions, to the chanting of the holy names, if we're still inattentive, if we're still meditating on the objects of the senses, that's an offense. It's the tenth offense. It's an aparad. We say in Bengali and in Hindi, we say aparad. But in Sanskrit, we always pronounce the last A. We say Narayana, Ganesha, aparadha, 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 opposite to Radha. Our mentality is not the same as Radha. Radha is the well-wisher of every living entity. But as a fault finder, I'm not the well-wisher of every living entity. And if I catch myself finding fault with other people, then I should understand that I'm not on the platform of being a Vaishnava, that I'm still on the bodily platform. Because there's only two kinds of living entities in existence. Only two. Number one, those who are the well-wishers of everyone. Such living entities we call the pure devotees, the Mahabhagwats. And the other category of living entities are those who are not the well-wishers of every living entity. Some people say there's a third category, people who are they don't say anything, they don't make any comment, they don't glorify, they don't find fault. But that's also in the not the well-wisher, because if you don't glorify, you're not the well-wisher. So you may be a passive person, but you're still not the well-wisher. So we should be the well-wisher of every living entity. And who gives the best example of being the well-wisher of every living entity? In our experience, is Srila Prabhupada. But for the totality of existence and in Shastra, who gives the best example? Sri Krishna himself as a baby. Because when Putana came to kill Krishna, she had smeared poison on her breast and appeared as a devotee to come to the house of Mother Yashoda and glorify Mother Yashoda, glorify her son Krishna, saying, "Oh, Mother Yashoda, you are the most fortunate of all ladies in existence. You have the most beautiful son, Krishna. What pious activities have you performed in your previous life to get this preeminent position? If I could hold Krishna, your son Krishna, in my arms for just one moment, my life would be complete." So in this way, she's presenting herself as a Vaishnavi, but she's not a Vaishnava. She's bogus. She has an ulterior motive. She's coming to kill Krishna. But Mother Yashoda is the well-wisher of every living entity. So she says, "Oh, such sweet words. Yes, you can hold my Krishna." So now Putana is thinking, "Great, I have Krishna in my arms. I'll put him to my breast. He'll suck the poison. He'll be dead. And my desire will be fulfilled." And Krishna, what was he thinking? Prabhupada, when he gave the class on this particular shloka, I remember it to this day. He said, "Krishna always takes the bright side. Oh, she is approaching me like mother. He saw something good. There was nothing good. It was all demoniac. It was all horrible. But Krishna found something good. Oh, she's approaching me as if she was a mother. So he took her breast and sucked out her life air, killed the demoniac body, killed the demoniac tendencies, and she went back home, back to Godhead. Sri Krishna Ki Jai. He's the well-wisher of every living entity, even those that come to kill him. Sishupal. Sishupal was so envious of Krishna. At the Rajasuya sacrifice, he couldn't tolerate that Krishna was getting the first worship. So he finally stood up. His anger, he could not control it. And he started defaming Krishna. You're just like a crow. The crow always goes to the garbage. And he goes on and on like this. Krishna was very calm and peaceful. Everyone else was, what's going on here? How can someone speak like this at the Rajasuya sacrifice? But Krishna, he just took his Sudarshan chakra. Sudarshan went and sliced off the head of Sishupal. And Sishupal went back to Godhead. So Krishna, he is the well-wisher of every living entity. He only wants the best. And I remember Prabhupada saying, if Krishna kills you, or if he kisses you, you get the same result. Whether he kisses you or kills you, you get the same benefit. You go back to Godhead. Because Krishna is absolute. And this is what Sukadeva Goswami is explaining to Maharaj Parikshit here. That Krishna, although he descends and appears to be in a human body and appears to act just like one of us, he is completely transcendental. And Krishna even speaks this to Arjuna and says that those people who think of me as, you know, this body, they're completely an illusion. They don't understand his transcendental nature. So as Vaishnavas, as devotees on the path of Bhakti Yoga, we should understand Krishna's position. Therefore, we should also understand our own position and everyone else's position as Nitya Krishna Das. Now, here's my final point. How do we know for certain that I see everybody as Nitya Krishna Das? It's based on my own conception. If I see myself as Nitya Krishna Das, then I see everyone else as Nitya Krishna Das also. But if I see myself as the body, then I see everyone else as the body also. So that bodily consciousness, or that spiritual consciousness, comes from my own consciousness of how I see myself. So when I catch myself finding fault with someone, then I realize I'm thinking of myself as the body. I'm seeing myself as the body. I'm not seeing myself as spirit soul, and that's why I'm seeing them as the body and not as spirit soul. You understand this point? So therefore, the whole science of self-realization is to come to this platform where our every thought, our every word, our every deed is based on the understanding that I am Das, 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 Anudas, the eternal servant of the Lord and all his devotees, that I'm pure spirit soul and I'm not this body. So this is the teaching. It takes a while to inculcate. We don't all come to this understanding immediately. It takes practice. It takes endeavor. It takes sadhana. It takes working on this mentality. Working on my inner self. Working on my mentality. Working on my consciousness. And I remember another thing Prabhupada told. He said, nothing good comes easy. The bad comes easy. You don't have to do anything and the bad comes. Nothing good comes easy. To get the good, you have to work for it. And Krishna himself, he's also saying that, I'm also working. So, what is our work? Our work is to be fully engaged in devotional service. To be fully engaged in devotional service means to be absorbed in my service. Whatever my service happens to be. If I'm a cook, I'm totally absorbed in cooking. If I'm a pujari, I'm totally absorbed in puja. If I'm a book distributor, I'm totally absorbed in book distribution. If I'm a writer, I'm totally absorbed in writing Harikatha. If I'm a kirtaniya, I'm totally absorbed in chanting the holy names. So this total absorption is the savior and is what brings us to this consciousness that I'm pure spirit soul. It protects us from Maya, protects us from the gunas, because the gunas are always there. So it's like an invisible shield of sattva, shuddha sattva, protection by the holy names. Haranama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nas Jeva, Nas Jeva, Nas Jeva Gatiranyata. There is no other way to be protected in Kali Yuga. There's no other way to come to that spiritual understanding. There's no other way to go back home, back to Godhead, but to take shelter of the divine energy of Sri Krishna that Srila Prabhupada has given us. And the holy names can be chanted in whatever service you're doing. If you're cooking, you chant the holy names. If you're doing puja, you chant the holy names. You're distributing books, you chant the holy names. Doesn't have to be external, can be internally. While I'm preaching to someone, the Maha Mantra is going on. It's in my pulse. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. When I go to an Ayurvedic doctor and he wants to test what he gets, he doesn't get the Vayu and the Kapha and the Pitta. He gets Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Because we are completely situated on that platform of pure spiritual energy. And that's what we want, is it not? Is that what we want?
Yes.
Is that why we joined this movement?
Yes.
Are we sincerely dedicated to this?
Yes.
Are we working to our best potential?
Yes.
We should be, because Krishna deserves our best. We should give Krishna our best. We should give Prabhupada our best and become a pure devotee. And we can give Prabhupada the best gift that we can possibly give him, because this is his 50th celebration, 50th anniversary of the founding of ISKCON. If I want to give a gift to Krishna, give a gift to Prabhupada, to say thank you so much for saving me, the best gift I can give is to go back home, back to Godhead. Because then I was successful. I inculcated the teachings and I was successful. And when I go back to Godhead, Krishna will be so pleased. Everyone knows about Gopa Kumar. When he arrived back in Godhead, back at home, Krishna forgot everything else, ran up to him and embraced him. When we go back to Godhead, Krishna will run up to us and embrace us. Tears in his eyes. Oh, finally you've come back. He's missing us. That's why Krishna says, Yena mam upayanti te, tadami buddhi yogam tam. I will give you all that intelligence for bhakti yoga. Just be sincere, because I want you to come back home. Why he wants you? Because he's missing us. Birohe, biroha. He's having separation. He's feeling pangs of separation for us, because it's a loving exchange, it's a loving relationship. So let's be fixed on this. I'm fixed on the goal. Prabhupada told us another thing. He said, in devotional life, you have to shoot for the shoot for the rhinoceros. Shoot for the rhinoceros means that when you go hunting for the biggest and strongest animal. And when you say you're going hunting for the rhinoceros, Everyone will say, oh, that's not possible. But if you're successful, they say, wow, unbelievable, you did the impossible. And even if you're not successful, they say, well, you did a fantastic service, you did your best. It was impossible, but you tried to do it. So in devotional life, we should shoot for the rhinoceros, Prabhupada said. We should be fixed. We're going back home, back to Godhead in this very life. If we're successful, we give the best gift to Prabhupada and Krishna when we return back home, back to Godhead. And if we're unsuccessful, Krishna and Prabhupada understand we gave our best. We get benedicted. We did the best we could. And we get another grand opportunity in the next life to finish the remaining few percent that's required to return back home, back to Godhead. So when we return back to Godhead, what happens? Not only is Prabhupada pleased, but all the previous acharyas, all the residents of Vrindavan, they come up to Srila Prabhupada in whatever form he is in his eternal identity in the spiritual world. And they say, you did a fantastic job. You did an amazing service. All the people you preached to, they're coming back to Godhead. All the people you didn't preach to are coming back to Godhead just by your books. But if we don't go back to Godhead, Prabhupada might think, I was a failure. I couldn't save them. He might think like that. He might feel, I could have done better. Do we want to do that to Prabhupada?
No.
So let's get serious. Let's get serious. If not for our own benefit, for Prabhupada's sake, for Krishna's sake, for our Guru's sake, let's do it for them. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions? Okay, no questions because it was very clear. Oh, one thing was unclear. Go ahead. Is there a microphone? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. This question is not related to the point we discussed because I joined very lately in this session. Last time when I visited Vrindavan in ISKCON, I took a session for 1.5 hours in that room. Here we were taught very good things which we should practice in our life. One of the points was we should chant Hare Krishna, Maha Mantra at least 16 malas per day. And in my routine life, I met many people who are actually chanting this Maha Mantra, maybe more than 16 malas per day. But what I observed, they are just doing this for the sake of going, because they are just chanting with a very big rhythm, with a very big pitch, which does not have love or affection towards the goal. But which really I feel, if a person wants to really fall in love with God, if he gives his affection with good words, with good sound, with his love, then he gets a mental peace instead of just completing some malas per day.
So
I have a confusion on this point.
Okay, well, this point I actually clarified. We have to do our best in every endeavor. We have to chant our best. So everyone is born due to their previous karma, and we're all at different levels. Someone may come with a more devotional level, someone may come with a less devotional level, but because we're both chanting, and if we do our best and carry on without giving up, we'll both attain the goal. So where we come from is not important. Where we are at now is also not the most important consideration. The most important consideration is where are we going and how are we going to get there? What is our mood? What is our bhav? So this is the Antarashtriya Krishna Bhavnamrita Sangha. So what is our bhavna? This is the point. What is our mood? What is our feeling? And amrita, are we tasting that nectar? Krishna Bhavnamrita. So not everyone is tasting that Bhavnamrita in the beginning. So you may come across a person who's in the beginning, and you may think, oh, he doesn't have that amrit. Or you may come across a person who's been doing it for 40 years. He has amrit. But you don't know because you're the newcomer. So we shouldn't be judging. If we're the well-wisher, we just say, he's chanting the holy names. And Prabhupada gave a very nice example in this regard. Every morning we take our bath. We take shower. Now someone may be much more dirt on the body. Maybe he was working in the fields and he's taking his shower. He has more dirt than someone who was just doing puja in the temple. But because they're both in the shower, you can't find fault. One is more dirty than the other because momentarily they will both become clean, suci. So it's the same. Chanting this Mahamantra is like the internal shower for the consciousness. So as long as we're chanting without aparad, without offensive mentality, then we will surely make advancement. And in the beginning, even if we do have some offensive mentality, because we're newcomers, Krishna doesn't consider it. He doesn't take it into account. He allows us, he understands nobody comes pure. Everybody who's coming is impure. So he gives some time for us to acclimatize ourselves and to learn how to do it properly and doesn't hold it against us. But if someone's doing it, chanting the holy names his whole lifetime and he's still at the same level as he was in the first year, then he hasn't made any advancement. And then at that point, Krishna's not willing to give him a concession. Now he's responsible for his own activity, for his own seva, that he did not do his best. You understand? Is that clear? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you.